Samuel chapter 27. If you don't have your Bible, raise your hand, please. Keep your hands up, please. Okay, good. Here's one more. In Calvary Chapel, we go through the Bible systematically, expository study. In other words, we go from verse to verse, chapter to chapter, book to book. We believe the Word of God has power and is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides people's heart and gives us the truth. So we depend on the Word of God because we believe this is the voice of God. So we ask you to read the Word, and it's a daily bread. It will help you. It will guide you. Many of us heard the word, "I'm in the belly of the shadow of death." And some of us also heard the phrase called, "I'm on the mountaintop with God." So we can say, I'm in the valley, and next time we can be on the mountaintop, and again we're heading down to the valley. Sounds like up and down yo-yo style, but that's a part of the life. David, we find that he went through a lot of things. Ever since he had to run out from his palace where Saul stayed. In chapter 23, we find him saving the city of Keilah. And they're the one who got saved by, rescued by David. However, they turned their back on him and tried to turn him into the Saul. So I can say that David was in the bottom of the valley. In chapter 24, Saul was in the place where he cannot move around. He was doing something else, as you know, guys know. And David could easily kill him, eliminate him, and stop his fugitive life. But he decided not to do it and depends on God. So he was doing what the right thing in the sight of God. So I could say he was in the mountaintop. In chapter 25, even though he showed a great humility, self-control, great patience in chapter 24, all of a sudden he lost complete cool because of the insult of a fool. So he was near the mouth of valley. However, he listened to the beautiful, quick-thinking woman, Abigail, and he stopped and listened to God and got out. In chapter 26, we learn that this guy had another chance. David had another chance to kill Saul, ultimate enemy. But again, he exercised God-given patience, God-given self-control, not to do it and wait upon God. So he, again, mountaintop. So from the bottom of the valley to the mountaintop and the valley and the up. Now, all of a sudden, we find him in the real, right in the middle of the valley of shadow death. Why? Who put him in there? No one else other than himself. That's where we are going to start chapter 27 of verse 1. Before we go there, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you never promised us that our life will be easy. Only thing that you promised that it will be easy is your yoke. And your guidance will be with us every step we go. Help us to learn from this example of David that we may not fall into the same problem, but seeking your way, seeking your hands, and seeking your face. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. If you mark your Bible like I do ask you to mark number 1 at the end. David, on the line, said in his heart. That is a very important point. This is the start of the problem. Said in his heart. Number 1. And now, number 2, I shall perish someday by hand of Saul. That's number 2. Number 3, there's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistine. That's number 3. And Saul will despair of me and to seek me any more in any part of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand. problem started at the right at the beginning of verse 1 in 27, chapter 27. Why? We see him speaking to himself. Is it unbiblical to talk to ourselves? No, I do that all often. I even answer back to myself. So, you know, it's about 10 years ago, if we talk kind of at the intersection, the people do a lot of funny things, you know, across the intersection. They do this kind of thing. And have you seen that? In their face and doing a lot of funny things. And another thing that you see is talking themselves or singing. Nowadays, if you do that, probably people think, oh, he's on the cell phone or she's on the cell phone. But 10 years ago, probably they think, when did you get out? That kind of thing. Now, he was talking, nothing wrong with talking to himself. Any other time, what did he do? He sought the God's hand, sought God's guidance. Either he asked for the prophet named Gad or Samuel, or he asked for the ephod, Abiathar, who is the high priest, and come and tell me what the God wants me to do. But instead of that, instead of seeking God's guidance, he's seeking his own decision, his own wit, his own intelligence. What is a logical thing for me to do here? That's problem number one. Instead of seeking God's guidance, if we start doing it with our own intelligence, we will, I guarantee you, fail. Is God smarter than us? You can bet on it. David tried to deal with his own problem. Now, why did he come to this kind of conclusion that he can do it by himself? He was kind of weary. He's been chased around by Saul for quite a length of time. He's weary and tired. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time when the devil attacks us most, when we are weary and tired, spiritually especially. That is why it is important for us to have regular diet of the Word of God every day, not once in a blue moon when we feel like it. And also we need to have a fellowship, regular fellowship like this, or Bible study, or home study. We need to get together with a fellowship one another, uplifting each other, praying for one another. If we isolate ourselves, we will be whipped by Satan. That's guaranteed. Problem number two we find is, I shall perish someday by hand of Saul. Is it true? If I remember correctly, in chapter 16, he was anointed by who? Samuel. And Samuel told him, you will be the king. If God says you will be the king after Saul, how can Saul can kill David? What he's doing is he's just ignoring God's promise and faithfulness. Don't we do that? Yes, we do that. Do we remember what God says he will do for us? Let's name the few. Number one, God said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But we think that somehow God will not take care of us. And God said that he will provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. Instead of waiting upon God, guess what we do? Using that little plastic card, doing this, and end up having 25% interest time after time. Within a few months, you're up to here again. How do I know? Been there, done that. Was I stupid? Yes. I had that L on my forehead, loser. Now I'm getting up. It is important for us to wait upon God. If that's not enough, God promised us, nobody can take us out from his strong, mighty hands, his loving hands. That's not thinking, you know, it depends on the people whom I hold on. If that person is not a good looking, if that's the case, I'm gone. If that person is not intelligent, we're gone already. Has nothing to do with our intelligence, our behavior, our action. Has everything to do with the love of God. He said he will hold on to us. No one can take us out from His loving hand. That means He won't let us go. But somehow we think that He's going to desert us. No, He won't. Promise is going on, goes on and on and on. There are 7,700 promises in the Bible, and God kept them all. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. If this person, God, has this good track record, do you think we can trust Him? So far, He made the best track record than anyone we know. Some of us rather think that the horoscope will take care of it. I have one question for those who believe in the horoscope. I hope you don't, none of you. But if the horoscope is true, the people in this airplane, and they crash, and they all die, and none of them has the same birthday. Horoscope just went down the drain, doesn't it? Horoscope is nothing but a bogus. Don't listen to it. Don't read. All right. Devil wants us to forget God's promise. Devil wants us to think about our situation. Depends on our own decision instead of God's decision, God's guidance. So that's two strikes against David. Final strike, let's go back there. Then I shall, nothing better for me. Is it really nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the where? The land of Philistine. What's the land of Philistine? Isn't that an enemy territory? Yes, it's an enemy territory. In other words, I cannot do this well, so I'm going to go ask somebody who is against me to help me. Let me make an example. There was a young lady who is a single mother and has children where I work. She was a believer, and because of being a single mom, don't have a whole lot of income coming in, she was panicking. She decided to go hang out with a guy with a lot of money. Is he a believer? No. What are they doing? They're living together. So they live together with a lot of money, and eventually they got married, which is a rare case. A lot of time when they live together, ladies, if you know somebody who is living together and married, listen carefully. Let them give them the advice. Most cases, women are used up. And they don't. A lot of times, they don't get married. Somehow, this case is rather rare. They got married. But she went through a terrible marriage and ended up in divorce. She didn't depend on God's provision and God's guidance. She just decided what to do. And she made herself alliance with a non-believer, which is another no-no. God's words cannot be negotiated. We cannot negotiate the truth. If we start to negotiate truth, it's no longer truth. It's a simple fact. Let's think about this progression. Number one, David did. He was talking to himself. At that time, nothing wrong. But he decided that it's better for him to do something about it. So we go here, and I shall perish, and decide forget he's forgetting the God's faithfulness and provision and promise. And thirdly, he decided he's going to move into the enemy territory. See how the progression is happening? Is that the only case? No. There's another case. Disciple Peter. When Jesus was arrested from the Garden of Gethsemane, trouble number one, he was following Jesus from the distance. Okay, everybody ran away except Peter and John. Peter was following Jesus, who were arrested and taken to the high priest's home. He was following him from the distance. Trouble number one. Trouble number two, he went into the courtyard of the high priest Caiaphas' home. And then, trouble number three, he's warming himself near the fire with who? the one who arrests his Savior and Master. See the progression? If that's not bad enough, let's make another example. Abraham's nephew, Lot, they were herd men, the herd was getting bigger, sheep and cows, all the oxen, they are getting bigger, and the Abraham's herd is getting bigger, so no longer they can hold both herd in one place. So Abraham said, you choose the place, go that way, I'll go the opposite way. Trouble number one, Lot cast his longing eyes toward where? To the field of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a green pasture. So that's trouble number one. Casting longing eyes to that direction. Trouble number two, he pitched a tent near the Sodom and Gomorrah. And we find him sitting at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. Who sits inside the gate of the Sodom and Gomorrah? In custom, the one who judged the administration. In other words, he moved from outside closer and closer into the trouble. You follow me? Let's put in our situation. Sometimes we say, no, I can't handle it, but I'll be here. I'm not going to hang around with them. But next moment, we're there. Another moment, we are inside. I said this last week, but bearing repeating. If we give an inch to Satan, he will be a ruler over us. Let's go to the verse 2. That's not the only thing we find. The extension goes on. Verse 2. That David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his wives, Anoam and Jezreelite, whatever, and Abigail and Carmelite and the Nabal's widow. None of us live to ourselves. None of us die to ourselves. None of us sin to ourselves. Our sin, hear me please, our sin affects those whom we love, those whom we care around us. David's decision affects how many people, not only 600 of his men and entire household. So I can easily say 2,000 people's lives are in danger because of his decision. Does it make sense to you? Some of you guys remember Jimmy Swagger. Jim Baker. As a matter of fact, I learned a lot of things from Jimmy Swagger. While I watched, when I was a baby Christian, while I watched his program, I learned a lot. God used him to teach me. However, when he fell, did he fall alone? No, he dragged many people down. It's not just Christian leaders that cause a problem. That's not the only case. Each of us in this place, if you claim to be a Christian and born again Christian, you do carry weight with non-Christians. As a matter of fact, this town Gath is not only the enemy territory, also this is a town where the Goliath's hometown, and this is the vile city, very enemy of God, and this is the center of the idolatry. And David is mixing himself with idolatrous people. I said this before, and again, I'm repeating. If you stick your white gloves, let's say we all have white gloves, put stick in the mud. Does mud get white, or the gloves get muddy? Any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to go upstream. We should be live fish. How can I backslide? I don't have to do anything. How can I be a live Christian? I have to read the Word daily and stay in the Word daily and stay in communion with Him all the time. Otherwise, I will fall right back at where I was. Some of you might say, this is not why I want to come to church. Well, tell me something I like to hear. That's not why I'm teaching. I'm teaching the Word of God, the truth. If you don't like to hear, listen carefully. Maybe God is speaking to you. Let's go to verse 4. So he was told to Saul, and David had fled to Gath, and he thought he sought him no more. Even Saul knew he should not go into enemy territory. Hear me, please. When we do wrong things, I'm carrying over to what I just finished, any of us, when we are born again Christian and we have people around us who are not born again Christian, when we do wrong things, whether we are prominent position or not, when we do wrong things, we bring God's name down. You hear me? We give a chance to our non-believers to make fun of our God or ridicule God's name or disgrace the name of God. Do you want to do that? No. There's one fear I have. Some of you already know this. There's one fear I have. It's not a death. It's not a sickness. It's not poverty. There's one fear I have. It's absolute. I am fearful in because it's me. The enemy within me. The sinful nature. That is very much capable to disgrace my God's name. I don't trust myself. That's why I have to be on alert all the time. My sinful nature wants to go against what the Spirit within me teaches me. There's no other way except God's way. Otherwise, I will fall right back at it. While some people backslide, those people like to give a donation to a charitable organization or something good. Why? It's not to please God. You know whom they're pleasing? Themselves. Somehow they're trying to appease their own conscience. Being bothered by conscience, being bothered by Holy Spirit within them, so they try to do something and appease them. Guess what? It doesn't work. We're going to find out exactly. Dark time comes up, verse 5 of David. Then David said to Achish, if I have found a favor in your eyes, underline that please, found a favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell in there. For why should your servant, underline your servant, dwell in the royal city with you? So Achish gave him the Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was one full year and 4 months. See the effect of these 2,000 people's lives. They had to stay in this idolatrous town for 16 months. It doesn't happen just only us, to other people too. This is the David that began the period of compromise. If you notice that I asked you on the line, the servant, and found the favor in your eyes, whose eyes? Achish, he's an enemy. And anointed the future king of Israel, called himself servant to the enemy. Is that possible? He just did it. Why? Because he compromised for his little neck. Instead of trusting God, he trusted his own way. This is one of the darkest times in David's life. And this time was for 16 months. It was filled with violence and deception because of his own stupidity. We all remember the time to time, when we did wrong things against God. That time was not good. If you notice the entire chapter 27, you will find not a one, or chapter 27, 28, 29, close to 30, you won't find one time David praying to God or writing a psalm. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. When you were doing wrong things, when I was doing wrong thing against God, did we pray to God? No. Did we seek His hand? Did we seek His face? No. Because we don't want to do anything with God. Same thing with David. So he's living double life in verse 8. And David and his men went up and raided the Geshurite and Gezerite. A lot of people are old, that's why he calls Gezers. And the Amalekite, and those nations were the inhabitants of the land and old. See, the Bible says the truth, old. And as you go short, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever the David attacked the land, he left neither man or no woman alive, took away the sheep and the oxen, donkeys, camels, whatever, and the apparels, and returned and came back to Achish. To demonstrate his loyalty with the Israeli people, what he did is he went down to the southern side of Judah and attacked the Geshurite, the Gezerite, and whatever those people. They are the enemies of Israeli people. So they are attacking. Remember what I said? While we are backsliding, we are trying to do something good. But that's not to bring glory and honor to God. It is only to appease our conscience that being scorched by the Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit tapping our breastbone with His long index finger to convict us, not to condemn us. Holy Spirit never condemns us. He convicts us. Who condemns us? Satan. Romans said there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He never condemns us. He convicts us. So he was making a double life. He makes sure there's no survivors. What he did, and then to an in report to go into Achish. Verse 10 of chapter 27. Before we go there, some of you are teenagers. We've been there. We've all been there. Trust me. We've been there. And remember when we were teenagers and we did something stupid, we come home pretending nothing happened. Mom and Dad ask us, what did you do? Nothing. Where did you go? Nowhere. Is it really nothing we did? Is it really no place we went? We went there and we did something wrong, but we didn't want our parents to find out. So we come up with a vague answer, and that's what we're going to find from David. Verse 10. And the Achish would say, where have you made a raid today? And David would say, against the southern area of Judah. And against the southern area of the people, and against the southern area of the Kenite. He never clearly said, yes, I went after the Jerubite or Gezerite. Whatever. He never tell him clearly. It's always a vague answer. To protect himself and to protect his tribe or whatever he want to call. David was no longer acting upon for the glory of God. He is nothing more than low down armed robber and murderer. That's why he is, this is the darkest time. Think with me. Remember when David wanted to build the temple for God? Remember that? Some of you guys remember, some of you don't. That's fine. We'll get there. It's in 10 years. David wanted to build a temple for God. But God said, no, you cannot build a temple for me. Because you're a man with a lot of blood. At the beginning, until a few days ago, until I studied this portion, I thought because he was in the war. That's true. But war is different. War is, you know, pretty much self-defense or the attacking. War is one thing. But he went after these people, killed them, cold-blood murder. That's why he was man of blood. That's why God would not allow him to build a temple. I didn't think about it until just a few days ago. We learn something every day, right? All right, verse 11, we find that he's a liar. David was saved, neither man or no woman alive, to bring the news to Gath. And lest they should inform on us, saying that thus David did. And thus was his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. So the Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people Israel utterly abhorred him, and therefore he will be my servant forever. David was lying to Achish. If you notice, he is not the only one who is lying here. There are 600 people who raided the other country. What David is asking other people to do is lying with me, or you just keep your mouth shut. Because when I do something wrong, those who are around me end up either sin with me, or they have to be quiet. Sin just not only affect myself, but people around, as I said before. Please, let's remember, we don't want to hurt our family or hurt our friends. Let's make a few applications. Application number one, don't close your Bible yet. Let's turn to the Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, please. Philippians is in New Testament. Right before the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 6. This is one of those memory verses. It's a very good thing to memorize. When the devil reminds us of current circumstance and that surrounds us, that scares us, let us remind ourselves about God's faithfulness and His provision. Chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of these very things, that he who has begun a good work in you will be completed until the day of Christ. He's not done with us. Remember, he cannot snatch us away from his mighty loving hand. And he said he will not leave us nor forsake us. He will provide all our needs. That means we can trust him. We can bank on him. Application number two. Let's remember, we have enemy within ourselves. Not only enemy without, for that is stable, but we have enemy, very enemy within ourselves. Devil is mighty. Fallen angels, trust me, he is mightier than us without Jesus. But he cannot make us do wrong things. You hear me? He cannot make us do wrong things. So we cannot come up with that age-old excuse, the devil made me to do it. No, it doesn't work. Devil can encourage us to do it, but he cannot make us do it. Guess who make us do it? Ourselves. We decide to do it, and we do wrong. If we listen to him, we will fall for it. How are we going to fight against it? This word. Dwell in the word of God. Pray. Instead of trying to find the counseling from our own or somebody ungodly. Never, never, never talk to ungodly for your counseling. If you doubt, let's go to the Psalm 1, please. Psalm chapter 1, please. Oh, I was in chapter 2. Let's go to verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. You might put the number 1 there. Nor stand in the path of sinners. That's number 2. Nor sit in the seat of a scornful. If you notice, there is a progression again. Not walk in the counsel of ungodly, and then stand, and then sit. In other words, you're getting closer and closer. Blessed is the man who is not doing any of those things. And we find in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be You shall be like a tree, and planted by the river of water, and that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's the opposite of those who stay close to the evil one. All right, application number three. We need to remember our sins just don't affect us only, but it affects other people around us, the one whom we care. It's one thing for us to pay our own consequences of our sins, but why do we want to put that consequence to other people around us? Application number four. We must deal with the root of our sins, otherwise it will come back and bite us. You want an example? See what happened that David did? David went out and killed people in cold blood murder. Remember the situation in 2 Samuel? That we find him doing the same kind of thing. He had an adultery affair, the relationship with who? Bathsheba. And when she's pregnant, guess what he tried to concoct? And that when that didn't work, he brought the Uriah, and Uriah didn't go for his scheme and have him to kill. Guess where that root sin coming from? Right here. Because he didn't deal with that, and he's Uriah's blood on his hand again. You can make a connection now? If we don't deal with the root problem, it will come back and haunt us. I said that was a rather difficult teaching, but I'm glad you listened. You didn't have much choice anyway. Let's stand up and pray. Our God is a God of